Okay, so last week we talked about liberty, right? We talked about liberty is God's gift to mankind, right? It's not only a gift, but it's also a duty to do what is right before God, to act righteously, and to just enjoy the creation, right? We are at liberty to do all things that are good and right to do. And that's something that God gave to us. And so the other, we're going to look at three things in this little short series. The one we're going to look at today is justice, and then probably in 2 weeks we'll look at equality. But today we're going to be talking about justice. And the title is Justice is God's Punishment for Sin. We could probably spend a year going through the scriptures and talking about what the Bible teaches about justice. It's probably one of the biggest themes of scripture, is justice. But my goal is not to get down into the weeds today. My goal is to just do a quick overview, because we hear this term a lot in our culture today, justice, right? And it's important as Christians that we understand what justice means from a biblical perspective. So with just a few minutes here, that's my goal, is to kind of give us that basic understanding. When we think of justice, we think of we want what we deserve, right? We want what we deserve. And when it comes to justice, we think of wrongs must be righted, right? When we are wronged, we deserve to have that wrong righted, and that is justice. And if that wrong is not righted, that is injustice. And that is true. That is what the Bible teaches of justice. But before we can get to that point, we have to understand what is all of this built upon, right? So justice starts with God's law. Justice does not mean anything if God's law is not given. Let me explain. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Right? So God is the creator. And so he, as the creator, gets to decide what goes on in his creation. Right? When you make something, you get to decide the rules. Right? I don't know if you ever played a game as a kid and somebody said, "Did you make this up?" Right? Because it seems like the rules are changing as they start losing, right, to benefit their side, right? And we think, wait a second, did you make this game up? Well, God made this world up, okay, and he gets to decide the rules, right? He gets to decide the purpose of his creation. And he gave us that in Genesis 1:26-28. It says, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And so God created the world. He gave purpose to it. And he gets to decide. Isaiah 61:8 says, "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make them an everlasting covenant." God's nature is that he gives people what they deserve. And his judgment about what people deserve is always just. God's judgments are true. Zechariah 7:9, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice." Right? Another, the ESV says, "Render true judgments." Justice is looking at something and saying, this is what ought to happen. Right? what is true, what is right. And that's what God does. God's judgments are true. His will is our authority. And our meaning humanity. God, because He is the Creator, because He gets to choose the rules, and His will is the authority that we serve under. There's a lot of people today that think there is no morality, right? Or that morality is subjective, right? You have what you think is right, and I have what I think is right, and you can't push your morality on me, right? I can do whatever I want to do. Well, you can do whatever you want to do, and you'll pay the consequence of it, but that doesn't make it right. God established what is right when He created us, and as our authority when He told us what to do. In Romans 13, 1 and 2, it says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God, and therefore whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." So God is the Creator, He made the rules, and His rules are this: obey the authority, right? And every authority, every valid authority, it comes from God. There is no authority that doesn't come from God. Now, there is usurpation of authority that does not come from God, and we see that a lot, unfortunately, in our world. But every true authority is authority that God has delegated to mankind, right? Government authority is authority that God has delegated. Parental authority is authority that God has delegated. God has even delegated authority to ourselves to rule over ourselves, and He has given us a conscience to help us do that. And even in the church, God has given the church authority to rule. We see in John 5, 26 and 30, it says, "For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself, and has given Him authority to execute judgment also. And because He is the Son of Man, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear His voice and come forth, and those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And I can of myself do nothing, and as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own, but the will of the Father who sent me." So Scripture teaches this, that the Father's will is the governing authority of creation. And Christ willingly submits Himself to the Father's will and judges all things according to it. And so sin is when we go against God's will. Sin is when we disobey the revealed will of God the Father. And sin must be dealt with because God is righteous and holy. Deuteronomy 34 says, "He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all of His ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is He." God must deal with sin. Think about something that you might have made. Maybe it's a art. Maybe it's a painting. Maybe it's woodworking. We have a lot of talented people in this church. Now, think of a big stain put on that piece of art. Here you have this beautiful piece of artwork, and over here is this big stain. Do you say, "Eh, oh well," right? You're drawing this beautiful picture. Maybe it's a painting of Nicole's, right? She paints this beautiful picture, and one night late, she's eating some spaghetti, and oh, spaghetti sauce all over this corner, right over here. Do you think she says, "Eh, Oh, well. I'm pretty sure I know Nicole well enough to say that she's not going to say, eh, oh, well, and just leave the spaghetti sauce all over the painting, right? God's not going to leave sin all over his work of humanity, his work of creation. He is going to deal with it, and that is what we call justice. And so God has revealed his program of resolving sin in Scripture. And he's going to do two things. Condemn sin. And the second thing is his plan of redemption. So, condemnation of sin. God has revealed in his word, Romans 6:23, right? For the wages of sin is? It's death. Destruction. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 13:4 says about government, for he is God's minister to you for good. For if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. And so the Bible teaches that government is God's minister, under God's authority, to punish those who do what is wrong according to God's will. It's not for us to go and redefine what is good and evil. It is for us to execute what God has already condemned. Government is God's avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. So God established the penalty of sin. It is death. But then we also see in Scripture that there are intermediate penalties, right? It's not just as soon as you disobey your parents, right? They come in and, right? Although that was one of the penalties in the Old Testament. But as far as we know, nobody was actually put to death for disobeying their parents. And so we have this idea of intermediate penalties, right? The first murder in Scripture was Cain who killed Abel, right? And God punished Cain. And did God give him the death penalty? Not immediately, right? He put a curse on Cain, right? And so there are intermediate penalties. Now, we know that Adam and Eve were subjected to death because of sin and subjected all of humanity to death because of sin, but it was not immediate death. And so we have these things called intermediate penalties. And in Genesis 9, after the flood, Noah got off the ark, and God told him, from now on, it is man's responsibility to execute justice on earth. If somebody kills somebody, it's man's responsibility to kill that person and to execute justice. And so government is instituted. Government is instituted as God's minister to execute God's justice. And that includes the idea of intermediate penalties up to and including the death penalty. Now, God also has another plan to deal with sin, and that is God's plan of redemption. Romans 8:1 says, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So those who walk according to the flesh, who sin, who walk in their sin, they are condemned to death because of their sin. But those who are according to Christ Jesus do not walk according to the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit, there is now no condemnation. We have received the righteousness of God. And not only does God make us righteous, but then as the church, he gives us the job to go out into the world and make other people righteous in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20 21 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God removed sin's curse through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. God removed sin's power as we subject our will to the Father's will. And God gives us His Spirit to empower us to do that. And ultimately, God will remove sin's presence. And that is when we enter our eternal home in heaven. And so, government was instituted to execute justice, God's justice. The church is instituted to execute God's grace, to go into the world and to plead with people, come back and do God's will. Come back and be willing to serve God's will. And He will forgive us, and He will redeem us, and He has made that path available to us through Jesus Christ. And so government plays an important role in God's plan for dealing with sin. And because of that, it is important that we play an important role in government. We should hold our government accountable. We should influence our government. Because if it's not us influencing our government to establish and execute God's righteousness, then all that we'll be establishing will be injustice. But I want to close with this. I'm already way over my time. How do we deal with sin? How do we deal with it as a nation? How do we deal with it as a community, as a family, as an individual? Three things, very quickly. The first is forgiveness. As Christians, we must forgive sin. Why? Because God has forgiven us. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. And therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. And for in so doing, you will reap heaps of coals of fire on his head. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Sometimes in our desire for justice, we become the very people that we are trying to get justice from. Right? When somebody hurts us, we allow bitterness to take root in our heart, and then we become the people who are hurting others. God says, "I did not give you that task, to go out and get vengeance." We as the church have a different path. In Matthew chapter 6, he says, "If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." We've all heard the saying, an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind, right? Justice without redemption, without Christ, it only leads to further pain and further anger, further resentment, further alienation. But when it's mixed with the gospel, when it's for righteousness' sake, and we are able to redeem people, then it becomes a powerful force for changing a community. So God wants us to forgive. Secondly, reconciliation. Work to reconcile with your brothers and sisters, with your community, with your friends. Acts 3:19 and 20 says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before." Repentance is important. Turning away from our sin and being reconciled again under Christ. But there's another thing that sometimes we miss out, which is called atonement. And atonement is very important. It's the making right, right? if I backed into your car out in the parking lot, okay, and did a little bit of damage to your car, and I came in, I said, I hit your car, I'm very sorry. And you might say, well, I forgive you, right? But you're probably still expecting me to pay for the damages to your car, right? That's what we call atonement. It's where we agree to make things right. And that's important. When we think about repentance, there also needs to be atonement. How do we make this right? Matthew 5:25, Jesus says, agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Last point I want to make is this: punitive justice. When reconciliation is not possible, when the person does not repent, there's something called punitive justice. Sometimes it even happens when they do repent. But this is where especially government comes in. But sometimes it doesn't matter the authority. There has to be punishment for sin. 1 Peter 2:13 and 14 says, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to the governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Sometimes what we do warrants punishment. And we have to be punished. That is what is just. That is what is right. And there's another part of punishment is when atonement cannot be reached, which is the agreement of two people to reconcile, there has to be what's called restitution. Exodus 22:14 says, if a man borrows anything from his neighbor and it becomes injured or dies, the owner of it not being with it, he shall surely make it good. Right? Justice requires restitution, okay? So that means if I damage your car and I don't come in and tell you, hey, I'm sorry, but I leave, right? And then you take me to court, the judge will order me to pay for the damages, right? And then on top of that, he might punish me for running away from my responsibilities. So that is justice. Justice is God's punishment for sin. Justice is not a way to make the poor wealthy and the wealthy poor, right? It is God's punishment for sin. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for both your willingness to punish us when we do what is wrong. Lord, I know as a parent over my children, I do not like to punish them. But also, Lord, I do not like what happens if I don't punish them. I do not like evil taking over their heart and allowing it to rule in their life. And Lord, I know that's not what you want for us either. And so, Lord, I thank you that you have a plan not only for justice, but also for redemption. That through your Son, in Jesus Christ, we are given the opportunity to make the wrongs right. Lord, there is no way we can ever truly repay the wrongs that we have done against you. Through sin, we have allowed ourselves to become corrupted. And your purpose for our life has become distorted. But your amazing love, your amazing grace allows your Son, the love of your Son, to penetrate our hearts and to overcome sin's power so that we can again serve what is good and right. That we don't have to be bound by sin's desires, but we can again return to serve the living God, to serve your will. But it does take a conscious effort. It takes a conscious choice. It takes a commitment to live for you for the rest of our life. And so, Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts to humble us to serve you. Lord, the parts of our will that we have not fully yet committed to you, where we've made mistakes, Lord, I pray that you would help us have the courage to ask for forgiveness, to reconcile with those who we have hurt. Help us to have the courage to forgive those who have hurt us. Lord, even people who are in authority make mistakes. Let us not become bitter and overcome by evil. Let us forgive each other and walk together in righteousness and goodness and liberty and love. And that is your desire. And that is just. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.